From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Elodie Reed, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Monday, December 9th, and here are today's headlines. Over 60 healthcare workers and community members protested in front of the University of Vermont Medical Center in Burlington late last week. They were marching to bring attention to planned cuts across the hospital system, including shrinking the number of patients the hospital accepts for overnight care and cutting nearly 100 temporary staff positions across the health network. Jacob Berkowitz helps with staff placement in the hospital, and Maggie Belenz is a nurse in the emergency department.
They can close down 50 beds in the hospital, but the patients aren't going anywhere.
We already see an overflow of patients in the emergency department who are boarding, waiting for hospital beds for days and days on end, and that number is just going to increase.
Hospital leaders say they have no choice but to cut in order to comply with budget orders from state regulators. A new retirement program from the state treasurer's office is now open for enrollment. The program, called Vermont Saves, offers a workplace retirement program for state residents who otherwise don't have one through their employer. State Treasurer Mike Pichek has championed the program. He says it will help Vermonters, quote, save for their future and retire with dignity. Pichek points out that nearly 100,000 Vermont workers aren't offered a workplace retirement plan, and that a disproportionate number of those workers are women and people of color. All Vermont employers with 5 or more employees who don't offer retirement benefits are required to sign up for Vermont Saves by the end of February. Business owners in northern Vermont are joining with the state's congressional delegation to push for longer hours at the border crossing stations with Canada. U.S. Customs and Border Protection currently plans to reduce hours for stations along the U.S.-Canada border. Steve Wright is general manager and president of Jay Peak Ski Resort in Orleans County. He told Vermont Edition that the shorter hours would affect employees and patrons alike.
I've been specifically working with our delegation for the last month because we've seen that coming, saying, listen, this is going to have an impact both on our staff's ability to cross the border and work, but also our guests' ability to start their day at a correct time. And right now, they're talking about this North Troy port only opening at 8 o'clock, which is when our lifts open on weekends.
Wright said Canadians make up between 40% and 50% of Jay Peak's gross revenue. The federal government has announced it will sell its flood-damaged building in downtown Montpelier. And city officials think this could present an opportunity to revitalize Montpelier's business district. The 3-story federal building, located in the heart of the city, previously housed a post office and offices for a handful of federal agencies like the IRS. But the building wasn't restored after weathering severe damage during the 2023 summer floods. Montpelier Mayor Jack McCullough says the property could be used for new housing.
It's so centrally located that it would be great, but it's our housing needs are so extreme that we certainly can't overlook that as a possibility.
The General Services Administration says it could take many months to finalize the building sale. And finally, celebrity lookalike contests are popping up across the country, and now one of Vermont's highest-profile people will get one, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders. Burlington resident Mike Triali has organized a contest at City Hall Park on Saturday. 7 Days reports the grand prize is a sticker from Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign and any other prizes participants want to add. Sanders' office would not confirm to the newspaper whether or not he would attend the competition. Coming up, winter veggies, courtesy of a shipping container farm. That's after this.
The Frequency is sponsored by the Autosaver Group's year-end sales event going on now at all 15 dealerships in Vermont and Western New Hampshire. Savings on their entire lineup, from trucks, SUVs, and EVs to fuel-efficient cars and family-friendly models. Inventory from all stores at autosavergroup.com. And Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, offering tire and brake service, oil changes, and state inspections. Online at gillspointstire.com.
As you drive down the hill into Burlington's Innervale, you may notice something new, a 40-foot-long shipping container in the parking lot. It's crimson red with a quilt-like mural of vegetables on its side. This is Village Hydroponics. The operation grows veggies to share for free with new American communities in the area. I recently stopped by for a conversation with Executive Director Noor El-Nabulsi as the shipping container farm's first season got underway. El-Nabulsi has been a vegetable farmer for many years, though he says he's new to hydroponics.
It's a flood and drain system.
I'm here pretty much every day, and a lot of tasks are just building out the system and working out kinks and fixing leaks. We are primarily going to be producing in the off season. We don't need to compete with other farmers, and when the sun can do its job better than grow lights, we don't need to keep those running.
Can you tell me everything you have in here that you're growing?
Yeah, we have some baby lettuce mixes, Swiss chard, cilantro, bok choy, Nepali mustard greens, amaranth greens, also known as lingolingo or palangi, thyme, head lettuce, collard greens, some kale.
And how often can you harvest?
Aiming to do weekly harvests, we collectively run this other project called the People's Farm Stand, which is a free mutual aid initiative where we grow and collect surplus produce from local farms. We grow a lot of the more culturally relevant produce alongside an amazing farmer named Hyacinth Ayenjinye in Williston. We just finished our fourth season, and we work with some really amazing families from the Nepali, Somali, Iraqi communities, Congolese, Burundi. We have a short growing season. Kind of been talking to the families and, you know, talking about the difficulties they go through having that lack of fresh produce, or having to make difficult decisions between increased utility costs or getting like a nice bunch of local greens in the winter, which is hard to come by for anybody. I kind of wanted this to be the next progression. Today is our third harvest of Village Hydroponics produce. So we're mainly going to get Asian greens today, bok choy and Tokyo bacana, which is an Asian cabbage. It's the Tokyo bacana. Came out really nicely.
Why culturally relevant?
Our society, unfortunately, can be really hostile and scary to refugees and immigrants and BIPOC community members, and it's hard enough leaving your home and trying to acclimate to a new community, to a new society anyway, for these new American community members who maybe haven't seen that produce since they've arrived in the U.S. I love to envision kind of us providing those veggies, them working with us to grow those veggies, and then them connecting with each other to share a meal that makes them feel more at home. We grow this plant called molokhia, also known as Palestinian spinach. I'm Palestinian, and it's so cool getting to grow this crop, molokhia, because it's basically like the leafy green version of okra. When I was a kid, it's kind of slimy like okra when you make it into like a stew, and my grandma would make it for me, and I never liked it because it's this kind of slimy thing. And now to, as an adult, be growing it for our community, and now I really like it. You kind of make a soup, like a kumini, lemony soup with like cooked cilantro and stuff, and it's really delicious.
And do you want to talk about like your identity and how that intersects with the work you've chosen to do?
Yeah, so my family, my grandfather and his family is originally from Haifa, which is now a city in so-called Israel. And in 1948, him and his family members were forced out of their home at gunpoint, sent from Haifa to Nablus, which is a city in the West Bank. That's actually my last name is El-Nabulsi, of the city of Nablus. And then he again emigrated to Beirut, Lebanon, which my father then grew up in the Lebanese Civil War, which was escalated, massacres perpetuated by that same Israeli government, kicking my grandfather out of his homeland in Palestine, that my father then grew up displaced countless times. So then he had to flee, emigrated to the United States where he met my mom, and here we are. It's deep rooted in me that the Israeli government uses, they weaponize agriculture. They uproot olive trees. They cut off water access to Palestinian villages. What I see, a basic human right, vegetables, fresh, nutritious produce, especially ones that are from your homeland, that make you connect to your land. They use this as a tool to separate communities. And I see how interconnected food and agriculture is towards community empowerment.
All right, step right up for the last farm stand of the season.
So all of these community members that we work with week in and week out, it's South Meadows, you'll see, is a beautiful neighborhood. I hope that every child gets to grow up in a neighborhood. Like, it's diverse and walkable and close-knit, but it's a subsidized housing neighborhood. Small apartments, a lot of quote-unquote handout programs to keep these people going. If you asked any single one of them, they as much as they might love their new home and feel it's special, they want to be in their home. If you go back further enough, the U.S. has played a hand in why these refugees are here. We are trying to be less afraid to, like, have those hard conversations and say, like, why is the People's Farm Stand, or why are farmers speaking up about the genocide in Palestine? Like, we have billions of dollars going to foreign wars, going to foreign genocides, and on the surface, it looks like we're just giving away free veggies, but we are bringing our community members into a solidarity fold that we're trying to take down this system that we're working in.
And that story was produced by me. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lexi Krupp, Michaela LaFrac, Bob Kinzel, and Adia Golston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Elodie Reed. I'll talk to you next time.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.